I was still thinking this past week how well the choir did with the cantata last week. We didn't, well, I thought you did good anyway. I'm sorry. Nobody else might, but I thought you did good. Okay, thank you. But turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This last Sunday of the new year, I thought I'd get a break from the Spirit-filled marriage and from Christ in the Old Testament. And I want to reflect this morning and tonight on two aspects that I believe are very important in our Christian journey and in our Christian life. This morning we're going to take a salvation test. And tonight we're going to look at a service test. What is it we should be doing in the new year waiting as we await for the Lord's return? And we're going to answer questions this morning like, how are we saved? How do we know we're saved? What does salvation look like fleshed out in the believer's life? And what is the relationship between faith and works? Because a lot of people confuse that. Paul addresses that for us. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to stand in honor of God's word, and we're going to go back in Ephesians to this passage here, looking at it a little bit differently. A salvation test. Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." In other words, in the previous verses in chapter 2, 1 through 3, talks about what we were, what God did, and then why he did it. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." In other words, he molds us and makes us what he wants us to be, right? He fashions us. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which have before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, it's ordained by God who saved us that we would walk in good works, right? After our faith in him. As we look at this passage this morning, this is the truth we're going to look at. Salvation is a gift that results in good works. And by the way, when I say good works, I'm talking about evidence. I'm talking about fruit, things that give evidence of a regenerate heart and someone who has the Holy Spirit living within them. Father, I pray this morning as we take this simple test that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't know how I can be any clearer this morning as I prepared this message. And I pray you clear up some confusion for us and as we expound upon the Word of God. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Salvation test. Number one, it incorporates two things. Number one, the faith test. And number two, the works test. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought we're saved by faith and not by works. Well, works give evidence of our faith, okay? And so let's look at the faith test, first of all, in verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." First of all, we see God's grace here. God extends grace, and we exercise faith. If God had not extended the grace of salvation to us, we could say we're believing all day long, but unless grace was extended to us, first of all, there would be no faith. Now, we would not be saved unless God extended grace. Grace means salvation is a gift. It's undeserved, and it's unmerited. That's why it's called grace, right? That's what grace means, a gift, right? Unmerited and undeserved salvation. The Bible goes on here to say that we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. Now, I want you to note the change that took place in the believer's heart here in chapter 2. As we look at between verses 1 through 3, what we were, and then verses 4 through 7, what we have become. In other words, what we were and what God did. Notice verse 1, first of all. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He hath quickened, he has made us alive. The spiritual man that died in the Garden of Eden is now quickened by the Holy Spirit to know God, right? "We were dead in our trespasses and sins." We were not dead because we sinned. We were dead, and that's why we sin, right? "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom you all had our conversation or our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now that's what we were before we were saved. And you say, well, I wasn't like that before I got saved. Well, you're in direct contradiction to the Word of God. The Word of God says you were, right? That's why we needed salvation. Now notice the contrast in the believer. Look in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We were dead, but now we've been made alive, right? By the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 2, what we were. I read that a while ago, I'm sorry. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But then notice verse 6, what happened to us. And he hath raised us up together and made us to seat together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, positionally speaking, God has placed you in heaven, seated with the Lord Jesus Christ already. Do y'all get that? That's what the text says. Look at it again. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not in heaven yet, but positionally, we're already seated at the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, look at another contrast, what we were, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Before we got saved, we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh. After we're saved, we're fulfilling the lust of the Spirit, right? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature, born dead, by nature, children of wrath, even as others. That's what you were. That's what I was. But praise God, look in verse 4 through 7 again. But God, who is rich in his mercy and his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now let's look at man's faith, secondly, as we take this faith test. Look at man's faith. We're told back in chapter 1, verse 13, we're called to believe. Look in verse 13 of chapter 1. In whom ye also trusted, what? In Christ. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What promise? Verse 14, of the redemption of the body as well. You see, when you got the Holy Spirit, he not only gave you the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life and live his life through you, but he gave it to you as a promise that he's not going to leave your body in the grave. Amen? Can I get a hallelujah from somebody? When you stand there at the graveside of your loved one, they had that seal of promise that the body's going to be raised again and go to heaven. At the rapture, the spirit and soul is going to be united with the body, and we're going to go home to be with the Lord forever. Why? Because you have the seal of promise, the Holy Spirit. So, we're called to believe. By faith, we lay hold of Christ. There's no other way to be saved than to believe in Jesus Christ. Yet all of our salvation is a gift. I've taught you all this for 15 years, and I want to show it to you again. Salvation, faith, and grace are all a gift of God. See, that's why I cannot lose my salvation. It wasn't my faith to start with. It was given to me by God. Look in verse 8 and 9 again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. What? It, underline that. It is a gift of God. What is it? It is salvation. It is faith. It is grace. Everything that we have in our salvation was given to us by God. We can't take the first iota of credit for anything. Amen? It is a gift. It's not deserved. It's not merited by our behavior and who we are. We believe that Jesus is God's Son who died for our sins, was buried, and was raised the third day. We believe the gospel. Brother Ray, I can't remember. I was doing something else when you were teaching in the first part this morning. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Jesus himself said this, right? Repent and believe the gospel, right? Repent and believe. What does it mean to repent? It's a change of mind that carries over in a change of conduct. It is a turnabout in our lives when we turn from our sin and we turn toward the Lord, right? Repent. It's a turning, right? And there is should be evidence in the person who claims to know Christ that he has repented of his sins, right? Now we still sin, right? And if you say you don't, you're a liar and the truth is not in you, John said, right? But our sins now are confessed because we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we can go to, not for relationship, but for fellowship, right? Your sins that you committed before the cross are cast as far as the east is the west. The penalty of sin has been paid, folks. You don't need to keep paying the penalty of what you were before you were saved, right? That's been paid at the cross. Well, Pastor, what about the sins we commit? Well, we come to God in repentance, when confessing our faith, and that joy of our fellowship is restored. That's what 1 John says. You don't have to keep getting saved and saved and saved and saved. You're saved once, right? But our walk is not what it ought to be many times. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about the old Joe that joined the church 6 months ago and FBI can't find him? Even the liberal press can't find him but dig up dirt on him. I mean, nobody can find him. What about him? He has no desire for Christ. He has no desire for the church, the Word of God. Well, if you're saved, it's going to be a change, right? And if you don't desire the things of God, and you never had it, right? You were never born again. God says, I know those who are mine. And there's regeneration, there's transformation, there's obedience, right? And if that's not present in some degree, then you never got it. All you did was make a mere confession of faith. Now, to be honest with you, some believe you lost it. Well, we believe that you never had it. End result is you don't have it, right? That's what happens to that. People keep coming up to me, where's so-and-so? I ain't seen them in church in a year. Why don't they come to church? Listen, come up front. Listen to me very closely. They don't come to church because they don't have God's divine nature in them. Okay? That's it. I'm not going to make excuses and call them this and call them that. The truth is they're not born again. Oh, they'd be in some church somewhere. Right? So we're looking at the faith test. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't worry about it. We're going to be good. That my sermon is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer we get to the end, the faster it goes. Look in 1 Corinthians. By the way, Marcus, that's what life is all about, right, brother? That's why that 66 jumped on you. 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, I love this. I never get tired of showing y'all this. We believe the gospel. See, you must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at that, if you will. Paul says, and there's a problem at Corinth. They're not believing in the believer's bodily resurrection, so Paul starts out by proving to them that Christ rose from the grave. Okay? Look in verse 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which you also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Not that you lost it, but you've got to believe the right gospel to be saved. And then notice what he says. For I delivered unto you, first of all great importance, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. So that's the first criteria. You've got to understand you're a sinner. You've got to understand that you need to turn from your sin and turn toward Christ, right? You've got to understand that Christ didn't die for you just to make you feel good or make you a church member. Christ died for you because you were sinners, right? And I was sinners. I was a sinner, right? And that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've got to believe in the gospel. So I'm asking you today, do you or have you believed in the gospel, right? That's what gets us to heaven. Because salvation is a divine gift, it cannot be earned nor deserved by human merit or religious activity. God, listen to me, folks. We cannot pin any medals on our chest because we're saved. God did not save us because we were smarter than anybody else. God did not save us because we were better looking. And I know that for a fact because I've seen some ugly Christians, right? Y'all understand my heart. God didn't save us because we look better than anybody else. He didn't save us because we have a higher IQ than other people. God saved you what? By His grace, right? And there's no medal we can pin to our chest. Salvation is not a work of man. It's a work of God. It's not what we do. It's who we believe in, right? You can try to work your way to heaven all you want to, but you're going to bust hell wide open. It's by grace through faith. Now, I want y'all to take note of this. I'm going to say it twice. Someone said this, and this is it in a nutshell. God, in His grace, sent Christ to live the life we could not live, die the death we should have died, and be raised on our behalf. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's good stuff for the last day of the year. God in His grace sent Christ to live the life we could not live. We go to heaven by His perfect righteousness, not ours, right? And die the death we should have died. And He raised Him on our behalf. Listen, what I'm trying to say to you, church, is all the glory of salvation goes to God and not us. So, first question, can you pass the faith test? Do you believe the gospel? Are you trusting solely in the work of Christ on the cross to go to heaven? See, that's what gets us there, by believing and trusting solely in the work of His Son on the cross for our sins. And if you're trying to go to heaven, you know, listen closely. If you're trying to go to heaven by works or trusting in your own human effort, or think you get the glory, then you have failed the faith test. You have failed the first test this morning. So what part do works play? Look in verse 10. Let's take the works test now, okay? Y'all listen to me through, all the way through here, okay? I don't know how I ended up in Psalms, but let's go back to Ephesians, okay? Ephesians 2:10. This is the works test. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're not saved by works, we're saved for works, unto good works. The root of salvation is faith, and it's not works. Works is the fruit, not the root. Any works you do after salvation in Christ are called good works, evidence, signs of a regenerate, transformed heart. But it's really not you doing it. It comes from the Lord who gave you the faith to believe, right? And gave you the Holy Spirit. Let me read some passages for you. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We're not going to read it all. But James says that we're not saved by faith plus works, but a faith that works. See? In John 15:8, wherein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Remember John 15, we bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But there is some fruit. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. There is some evidence that they're born again. Because you cannot live a passive life in neutral when you have the divine one living within you, right? Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity, what? And purify Himself a peculiar people, what? Zealous unto good works. Good works follow salvation. Matthew 5:16, another great passage. Let your light so shine before men. What does that mean? That means your transformed life. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You cannot separate these two, faith and works. And I'll demonstrate that in a minute. Now let's answer our questions. How are we saved? This is how you can recognize any cult. We're saved solely by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? In the finished work of Christ on the cross. My faith is not in me. My faith is in what Christ did on the cross. Amen? How do we know we're saved? By a transformed life that shows itself in works, fruit, faith, and obedience. Y'all hang with me now. How does salvation look like fleshed out in the believer's life? Well, read the book of 1 John. John tells us that we might believe about the Christ. 1 John tells us how we can know we believe, right? That we can know we have eternal life, right? Now, if none of these things are evident in your life, you don't have much assurance, right? But if they are present in your life, that's evidence. Do you rejoice when someone gets saved? That's evidence you're saved, right? Do you cry when another believer hurts? That's evidence you're saved. Do you get corrected when you sin? That's evidence he's not going to discipline those that are not his children, right? Right? Do you love the church? Do you love the body? Do you love righteousness? Do you hate sin? All those things are in 1 John. Now, what is the relationship between faith and works? Works follow real faith. Paul said we are saved. Now listen to this. This is how Paul and James come together. Paul said we're saved by faith alone, right? We're justified before God totally by faith. But James says that it is not a faith that is not alone, right? James says if we've been justified before God by our faith, then it's going to be demonstrated to our fellow men that we're followers of Christ. So that's how it comes together. I want you to turn with me to Romans 10, then we're gone. Romans 10. How does all this happen? Well, first of all, you got to be convicted by the Holy Spirit that you're a sinner, right? When you got saved, were you convicted because you didn't go to church? Were you convicted because you wasn't a person you need to be? No, that first conviction comes that you're a sinner and you deserve eternal hell, right? So what do we do? Romans 10. Everybody there? 9 through 13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he is Lord, right? And shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To confess the Lord Jesus Christ means to agree with what the Word of God says and what God says about his Son. Okay? Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, you confess Christ all you want to, but if it doesn't come from the heart, it's not real, right? But if it's in the heart, it's going to come out the mouth. Now look at it. I know all this is elementary. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all what? That call upon him. How are we saved? Right. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call there, when I called on the Lord, that means I incorporated and I recognized I was a sinner. I recognized who Jesus was. I knew I couldn't save myself. I called upon the name of the Lord, all that he is, to save me, right? And he's promised that he'll do that, right? All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it, right? You can't get any simpler than that. So I ask you today, have you passed the faith test? Do you believe the gospel? Does your life give evidence you're born again, right? Y'all know me when I do a funeral or when I talk to someone. Well, you confess Christ. Now, hey, you're going to heaven no matter what. No, let's give some time for the life to bear it out, right? Father, thank you for your word today. I know it may seem hard to many in this easy believism culture we're living in. All we got to do is make a decision, walk an aisle, be baptized, and we don't even have to come back to church. That's easy believism. No signs of regeneration, no signs of a transformed life, no signs that we love God or his people. Lord, that's damnable. That's damnable. Help us to be people who pronounce the gospel as it should be. there's a change in our life. Someone here this morning has not passed the faith test and the works test. Lord, I pray that they'll come forward and ask Christ into their life as Lord and Savior. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.